Hey guys, we're here with my friend, the YouTube sensation, Dan Moeller, and we've been out hunting turkeys.
He's testing me. I told him if he'd do that, I'd get up and walk off, but I have too much love in me.
And yeah, we've been out hunting turkeys, and we can't get together because of the coronavirus restrictions, so I asked Dan if he'd be okay with us doing some Q&A. And he was good enough to say yes. So we're going to go through some questions here and get Dan's heart on them. Thanks for doing it, buddy.
It's my privilege.
I really appreciate it.
Can I say hey to the guys?
You can say hey to everybody.
Hey, guys, everybody that's watching. Just, sorry it's this way. It is what it is right now. And just on that, I mean, that's just stay out of fear, right? We have an amazing covenant, but let's just understand what's going on. I mean, people are getting sick. People are dying. Keep praying, believing. Let's not make a joke about this. It's something that we need to press through and get through. Amen. In the spirit and believe in God. And that's why we have a covenant. That's why Jesus shed his blood. So the fact that we have to do it this way isn't that big of a deal just because we're going through some of these changes. Jesus is Lord. He lives in us. Remember relationship with the Lord. And let's just keep walking in the light as he's in the light. Okay, so we'll go on and probably do these questions, but I wanted to say hi.
Yeah. So here's the first question that came in. It said, Dan, thank you so much for your teaching. It's brought so much freedom to me. I'm thankful for your ministry. And they're asking this. So many times we hear testimonies of people who met Jesus and bam, everything was changed. Addictions gone, healing, sickness gone, marriage healed. And we celebrate that 100%. But how do we approach the parts of our heart that seem to require more of a process of transformation over time? What does working out our salvation look like from a gospel perspective? And at what point does process become a snare?
Gee. That's an incredible question. Yeah. No, it's an amazing question. Yeah. Oh, my goodness. That's an amazing question. I hope I got it all. Obviously, there is a lot of things that change immediately. But I had that. I had that in my life. And actually, a lot of people say, yeah, but it just happened right away for you. And on the process side, I've seen a negative reaction in people. Like, they'll use the process thing almost as a reason to not live in faith or walk in faith and believe the truth. Because actually, we're all called to live by faith, right? Yeah. So whether I see something dramatically change or not, I have to set my heart on what I believe and who he really is and what I believe, what he paid for, and what's truth in the situation that I'm, you know, talking about. And I have to continue to go after that. So, but here's the deal. If you feel like you don't have that bang, like, just change experience where everything light switch. Let's use light switch, a light switch experience. You don't compare yourselves. Paul said, don't compare yourselves among yourselves. You're not wise. Because here's the deal. Truth doesn't change. Mm-hmm. Whether you had a light switch experience or not, truth doesn't change. So in that situation, here's what you do. You remain thankful. Working out your own salvation was part of that question. What that looks like is, you see who God is. You see the person of God. You respect that. You honor that. Because that scripture says with fear and trembling. It actually means a reverence. Mm-hmm. With a reverence towards the person of God. So you honor that above all things. He's the Lord. He's the truth. Mm-hmm. Right? And you continue going in that direction. If you don't see a marriage transformed, if you don't see your body changed quickly, if you even see a tendency in your life try to flare up, you're going to run into difficulty if you compare that to people that are changed by process. Your heart could get envious, you could get frustrated, and it could pull you from true faith and believing God loves you. So let's use this example in your marriage. So say your marriage doesn't just transform and your spouses see my spouse at the time of my conversion worked against the change, the light switch change, because she was hurt. Naturally speaking, you would say rightly so. I gave her plenty of reason. So, but here's the thing. I changed and I pursued change and my wife went the total other direction. Mm-hmm. Now here's what I've seen. I know you've seen this, Roy. People, when their spouse goes the other direction, they tend to go with them. Mm-hmm. They don't keep getting stronger. Yeah. They let where their wife isn't or is or their husband isn't and is depend or decide where they are.
Right.
And to answer this question and try to help answer this question, you have to settle in your heart. I'm going to grow up in God. Yeah. Man, I feel like I could weep over this because so many people stumble over this one. I'm going to grow up in God come hell or high water. I don't care if nobody, I mean, I care. I'm using that as an analogy. Sure. It doesn't matter to me. That's a better phrase. It doesn't matter to me if anybody loves God or goes after God.
Right.
I've seen who he is through his word, and I'm going after him, and I'm going to get a hold of him, right? And in my heart, if I see something not changing, I go to God in prayer. I don't compare myself to somebody else. I say, man, this isn't who you created me to be. This isn't who I ever want to be. And I thank you for the work you're doing in my life. And just to throw one more thing, and I'll let you respond in anything you want to try to help with this question. The one thing I encourage people to never do when they commune with God and go in prayer, don't go based on where you believe you're not.
Mm-hmm.
Go based on where you believe you're going.
Yeah.
Like, thank you for the work you're doing in my heart, Lord.
Yeah.
God, I so appreciate the change you're working in me.
Mm-hmm.
Rather than, Lord, if you don't do something with this heart soon, I don't know what I'm going to do. Because when you leave your prayer time, all you're thinking of is how messed up you are.
Right.
And the resume you have of yourself is just based on your basic works and not the grace that's working in you.
Mm-hmm.
So here's the first thing. You care about these things. Like, whoever wrote this question, that's a packed question. That's a powerful question. Somebody's thinking about this and has the heart to ask this question, to think about this stuff. I believe that kind of person has the heart to walk in faith and receive grace, to receive any change, whether it's light switch or whether it's just growing up into him in all things.
Right.
Isn't there a provision in Ephesians where we continue teaching and training till we all grow up into him in all things?
Yeah.
That's not light switch.
Yeah.
That's becoming.
Right.
That's to the full measure of the stature of Christ. So forever you are, I'll just look out here. Forever you are, if you're listening that asked that question, don't compare yourself among yourself. Always be thankful for where God's growing you and continue going after God for the person he is, who he is. He's the Lord. He's righteous. He's a righteous judge. He's merciful. He loves you. He's truth, right? And that's how you work out your salvation with fear and trembling. Emotions that hit people, you've seen people tempted to give up. That's a scary place. Come on, why would you even give yourself a right to give up? That's just self-centeredness. That's just you wrongly assessing and getting emotional.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, come on, your heart doesn't even want to give up.
Right.
You're just frustrated.
Yeah.
And you're like, well, I just feel like I'm going to give up if I didn't get it by now.
Yeah.
Easy,
yeah.
Okay? It's not like that. See, you're being your own worst enemy.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, if you let that stuff get in your life, you could ask that question sincerely all you want, and you're robbing yourself from walking in a simple truth. So it's always staying humble. I'm saying this to everybody, even if you're not asking this question, always staying selfless. I can't even explain to you, Roy. I have to be careful. Some of these questions probably provoke me in a minute, and I'll go on a 20-minute tangent on selflessness. But it's so in me. Like, for 2 months, it's been burning on me. It's like I feel like we're not getting that part. We want God to bless us, protect us. We want him to keep us from this virus, rightly so. We want him to heal people, and rightly so. But there's a selfishness that is obvious to me. The more I live in Christ and travel and get around people, because there's too many discouraged, too many people asking things for the wrong reasons, too many people disgruntled, trapped in rightness. All those things we think are normal, and they're all signs of self-centeredness.
I think it's even working into good teaching, like on unforgiveness. And we teach unforgiveness. Well, you don't forgive for the other person. You forgive for yourself, because otherwise you're trapped. And we make forgiveness all about what I get out of it rather than seeing it as the natural response to the love of God.
You know why I forgive?
And living selfless.
I forgive because I've been forgiven of everything I've ever done.
Yeah.
And when I stand before God, he will never bring up one thing that I missed through the blood. It's forgiven, and it's in a sea of forgetfulness. He said, I'll remember your sins no more. If a person receives the forgiveness of God and believes and understands they're totally forgiven, the heart of God and the heart of forgiveness comes into you. I forgive people, Roy, not because I'm supposed to, not because he forgave me, because it's the heart of God in me. Like, I'm so thankful. The beauty of forgiveness liberated me when I was wrong.
Yeah. Yeah.
Why wouldn't I want to liberate everybody?
And it should be the natural response.
Oh my goodness.
Of love, not something I'm doing because someone told me I'm in prison if I don't.
It's not a principle that I'm trying to master in Christianity. It's the heart of God in me. Let me tell you what it is. It's Christ in us, people. The hope of glory. Yeah. And we can quote Christ. We can quote scripture. We can quote red letters. But until his heart is our heart and we actually yield and say, you know what? Everything you are, I agree with it. And everything you are, I want to be. Yeah. And I thank you that who you are in me.
Yeah.
If we start talking like that when nobody's looking, if we start talking like that when we're driving the car and nobody's looking instead of processing and thinking, I can't believe they said that. Well, if they said that, do they really love me? And next thing you know, by 2 hours, you're a mess because you're processing in a rational, logical way. And then you talk to two friends that are on the same thought pattern, not blasting your friends. I'm just saying there's people that'll encourage that deception and not even know they're doing it.
Right.
And here's what I've said for years at the risk of being redundant, but it's not redundant. Like if what you're thinking and what you're believing isn't producing life and isn't sending your heart like with zeal forward, then you're not thinking clear.
Yeah.
Like we should be excited, guys.
Yeah.
So I know that was a packed question. I don't even know if I touched every aspect.
I think so. I think one of the big things is, and I think what you're saying, if I'm hearing you right, is we're following Jesus. We're not following process. And so if in following Jesus, there is a process to some things that we go through, we're not condemning ourselves for that, but the goal is
you're not judged spiritually or unspiritually for that, because we are following Jesus. You know what a lot of times we get tricked in doing? We follow other people's experiences, and we follow their testimonies, and we say, why isn't that mine? And then we say, why can't I ever have a light switch experience? But watch what that is. Watch the self-centered deception that's coming in there. All of a sudden, you're letting that one little factor dictate your motivation, your heart, your view, right?
Yeah.
Your identity.
Yeah.
Oh, it's so subtle.
And it's with a good heart. Because someone wanting that doesn't have a wicked heart.
I ain't even talking about evil or hypocrites.
And that's the thing about it is it's not people with an evil heart looking for an excuse. Most of the time it starts off and it's actually with a good heart.
Right.
Just not knowing
and
not understanding that it doesn't have to be a process. And if it is, there's no condemnation in that.
No,
but I think sometimes we've made process a goal, or we've made it the point rather.
Well, you
than
can
a
hide behind process.
Yes.
Yeah. Just be careful of that. You can hide behind process. You could say, well, none of all of us is just a quick fix. Some of us are processing, and you're actually frustrated in your heart, or you're hiding behind it because you've had the same scenario for 5 years,
right?
And you're not really addressing it in communion and union with God. You've stepped out of faith. You might not even be believing something anymore.
Or you're just not ready to give up the offense or the hurt or whatever it is.
Yeah. And then you buy into the same scenario or identity for 5 years or 10 years. And you say, hey, I'm getting there. We're all getting there. I'm getting there. And it's like, if that's your line for the last 5 years, you might want to search where you're really at. You could be hiding behind a thing that we're going, well, we're processing.
Right.
And I'm not against, listen to what Paul said. Paul said that I haven't apprehended. It's in Philippians 3. Mm-hmm. I haven't apprehended yet. But I'm going to. He's like, he's got his mindset on growing into something. We're looking at Paul going, wow, Paul's amazing. Like Paul has really grown, matured. God has spoken to him. But Paul said, you know what? I haven't attained. I haven't apprehended yet. He said, there's one thing I do. I just forget what lies behind and I reach forward what lies ahead now watch what he says, guys, that I might lay a hold of that which Christ Jesus laid a hold of me for. That means Jesus bought you, Roy, with intention.
Yeah.
Oh my goodness. Yeah. He didn't like just buy you to forgive you. He didn't just buy you to say love you. He didn't just buy you to write your name in a book called life. Right. He has intention for Roy Giese. And Paul said, you know what? I understand that God has a will and purpose with my life. And he bought me with intention. Like, and I... Here's this question. Whoever asked this question, watch this. This is fear and trembling. This is working out your own salvation. I truly want to lay a hold of that which he laid a hold of me for. Mm-hmm. So what did Paul do by proving that he was sincere? Forgot what lied behind and he pressed forward what lies ahead, that he might lay a hold. And now watch what he says. As many of you are as mature, he said, are mature, have this same mind in you. And if any of you think otherwise, even God revealed this to you. It sounds like he's growing up.
Right.
It sounds like he's maturing. It sounds like he's not where he knows he could be, mm-hmm. but there's something paid for.
Right.
Would you call that process?
Sure.
I would.
Yeah.
Paul's not hiding behind the word, and Paul's not
letting it be an excuse
insecure
for something he knows.
On the other
hand,
yeah, and he's not saying, "Boy, I sure ain't where I should
right.
be." He's not self-centered.
Yeah.
He's surrendered. He's Christ-minded, and he's recognizing something. And here's how you know. Here's a barometer when you're healthy in your motives. When you recognize these things, it motivates you forward without any thought, any emotional reaction, any demeaning,
mm-hmm.
or any cover-up.
Yeah.
Right? Just no holds barred. And then he said, as many as you mature, God, you have this mind. God even revealed this to you if you think otherwise. But then he said this, and this is fascinating. But let as many of us, no matter where we are, what level we are, mm-hmm. no matter where you think you are on the spiritual ladder, no matter what rung you believe you're on,
right.
let us all have the same mind. And let's follow those as we have for a pattern.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yeah.
So those people are examples. It's like, hey, they're walking in mm-hmm. this. Man, this can be done.
Mm-hmm.
That's not an insult. That's not a comparison. And that shouldn't be something you should feel insecure about.
Right.
You should feel inspired. Man, if I see somebody tasting something and it's really good, I'm like, is it that good? And they're like, whoa, y'all ever do this? You're like, is it really that good? And they're like, oh, and they're like really reactive. After a bit, you're
you
like,
want it.
Are you like going to offer me
yeah.
any? Like, could I try that for a second? Like, if I see somebody in a sweet place with Jesus, that shouldn't challenge me in a bad way. It should inspire me and entice me if my motives are pure.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if I'm insecure, if I'm self-conscious, if I'm self-centered, if I have a hidden low esteem and I'm comparing myself, say Roy has something that I just like, what? That should encourage me to believe it's possible and go after it.
Mm-hmm.
And if Roy talks about it from the pulpit, I found myself doing this. I'm so careful anymore. I have a hard time sharing some personal things from the pulpit, some experiences, because people hear me for where they're not instead of hear me for where mm-hmm. they can go. And then they tend to compare themselves. And if I share testimony about my grandfather, a grandfather will be sitting in the congregation and say, well, you can count me out. Well, I blew that.
Mm-hmm.
Or a grandchild will say, well, that sure ain't my granddad.
Right.
And we're missing the whole
reason.
Rather
than that, let it be something that inspires you into him.
Rather than saying, man, no matter where I've been up till now, I'm laying a hold of more truth.
Yeah.
And watch what Paul's, and I might not have apprehended this yet, but there's something I'm going to do. I'm going to forget what lies behind. I'm going to forget that I blew it thing.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm going to press forward and I'm going to lay a hold of what he laid a hold of me for.
Yeah.
And what do you think that is? What did he lay a hold of you for? Very simply, for you to be transformed back into his image so you can walk with his heart, one with his heart, one with his love, one with his Holy Spirit.
Mm-hmm.
I promise you, where the wisdom of God overtakes the wisdom of the world, for God makes foolish the wisdom of the world, right? So Christ Jesus has become the wisdom of God for us. And I'm telling you, he wants to put who he is inside of us
mm-hmm.
so we can walk in the light as he's in the light. Let me ask you a question. Does my spouse have to be running hard and in love with Jesus and cooperating for me to pursue that truth? Does my family and friends have to be on page? Do people have to treat me right for me to go after that truth? See, this is all, I'm still answering that first question. We're in trouble. So that question was amazing. So here's the deal. I set my heart on this thing because I see who he is.
Yeah.
I ain't looking back. And I'm going to lay a hold of him. Because
yeah.
here's what I know, Roy. One day, I'm going to stand before him.
Mm.
And I'm going to have the honor of standing before him. And I don't want to say, oh, well, I'd have believed in you if.
Yeah.
Well, you know, if you'd have answered my prayer and changed them.
Yeah.
Oh, you won't even be able to think that in the light of his glory. You'll be like, oh. So if it's not going to work then, why would you let it work now?
Yeah.
Just cheering you on.
Yeah.
We'll try to do better with the next question.
Let's see. Let's go to next one is, so this person wrote, we all know people who casually profess Christianity, such as, you know, I believe in Jesus, or I believe in God, or I was saved, you know, X many years ago when I was a kid. And believe that just that, and others that do the same will go to heaven when they die because, you know, they one time prayed a prayer or, you know, whatever the case is. And they're asking, how do we as followers of Jesus address the once saved, always saved mentality in a loving way? Like, in other words, if someone that you know would be professing,
are they asking one-on-one? Because, well, let me give two extra, like one-on-one would be a little different. Like at a corporate setting, you have, like in my position, I have such a grace. Or if you're doing a little Bible study or something, you have to be careful. Here's the one thing I want to clarify. This is really coming on my heart. Like, this is a conviction. I believe this is the Lord. Your heart always has to be pure in these things. Like, you can't be teaching the word if you have animosity in your heart. Mm-hmm. I'm just going to say this plain. I wasn't even prepared for this. I didn't even know these questions, but whew. You can't be teaching the word with animosity in your heart. That's a mixed drink. That's not cool. That's like a tainted thing. You can't have jealousy and pride. You say, well, then who's preaching the word? Who can preach the word? I'm talking about unaddressed.
Right.
If I realize there's something in my life and I'm like, oh God, and I'm repenting and I feel like it's still trying to get me, I'm just using that as an example for people. And I'm still teaching the word. It's because I'm in faith before God and I'm dealing with my heart and I'm not in denial. Right. You see what I mean? So a lot of people, like, when they see stuff in this question, I'm not referring to the person, I'm not reflecting on the person that wrote, this is a great question. I've perceived plenty of times that people rhetorically say Christian things, but I don't know them real well. I don't have relationship with them. And in a one-on-one, unless God gives me a direct word of knowledge, I don't feel like I even have to address it. Mm-hmm. If I get a little closer to them, if something comes out in our conversation or I see something that's a total violation or a springboard to speak, well, I'll touch it then.
Yeah.
But I don't feel compelled to try to, I know you're not asking this way. It's probably a bad illustration. I don't need to set everybody straight that way.
Sure.
Like, I feel like I want to sow seeds, live genuine in my life, hope my life's a conviction to people. And if I have enough relationship with people to where I see their life enough to that I know that I know what's happening, I might try to address it. How do you do it? Sincerely, for their sake, with concern for them.
Right.
On the flip side, I'm not referring or reflecting on the person that asked this question because I don't believe this about you at all. I've seen people ask a question like this, and it's not this person, where they've seen so much of it, it makes their heart angry or they get irritated.
Yeah.
I've seen a lot of people with stuff in their heart that's not good.
Mm-hmm.
So you can get so involved with politics. This is just an example. You can get so involved with politics and all of a sudden find out you're so involved, you have a hard heart.
Yeah.
That you're angry and you don't even like people.
Right.
That you don't agree with.
That you don't, you've lost us and them mentality.
You're just caught up on an earthly thing, politics. I've watched Christians get so caught up in politics, they become angry, they become opinionated, they become right, people become wrong, and they're living outside of everything that Jesus is. And yet they're in leadership and they might be an elder. And you see what I'm saying? So guys, what I'm saying is, please guard your heart. Out of your heart flows the issues of life. If I have love for people and my heart's pure, I'll see God. I'll use discernment. And there's real no, this isn't a cop out. There's no real textbook answer for that question. You need discernment. Every situation's different.
And it probably depends on level of relationship. You know, people you have close relationship with, you see what they're saying and you see the fruit of their life. And there's probably opportunity to go to them out of concern for them, out of love for
them. Look, when I first started coming down here, And I got to meet you and I got to meet your brother Judd. Say I'm just hanging out and I discerned something or saw something or I heard something with you that I didn't think much of it, but I was like, oh boy, that's not really, oh Roy, you could be a little stronger in that. Roy, I don't think it. And then I might hear something in Judd. For one of you guys, I might feel like I need to talk about it.
Sure.
When nobody's around, just say, listen, I heard what you said and I'm not trying to nitpick or correct. But for the other one, I might just feel like, I'm not to say anything.
Sure.
I just don't feel compelled to adjust everything that.
Just because it can be said doesn't mean it always should be said. Yeah.
I'm that way a lot. I trust discernment. I trust Holy Spirit. Right. And I've become super confident. I know people could hear that wrong. But I've become super confident in my own motives. I look into my heart. It takes 1 second for any of us to look in our heart and say,
you
what
know.
Makes me tick?
Yeah.
I have no need to set nobody straight. I have no need to correct people. Mm-hmm. I tell people all the time, we're talking about the evil and the hypocrite stuff. I it seems like the things I say are so corrective all the time to people, but I have no need to correct mm-hmm. people. And I say it all the time. I say, guys, I'm not talking to a room of hypocrites. Yeah. I'm just teaching us who we are. And when I teach who we are, it reveals who we're really not.
Yeah.
And I'm teaching us who to never be.
Right.
You see what I mean? So it's not because I'm talking to a room and thinking, oh boy, these people really need this.
Sure.
You know, wonder if I'm saying it because God knows he's found people that can bear it, hear it, and become it.
Yeah.
Why is it always a negative? Why is it always, boy, Dan came back here two times, we must really need it. Wonder if Dan came back two times because God found the people that are responding.
Well, what happens when Dan comes eight times?
Well, turkey hunt. Sorry. No, I love you guys. But I do love turkey hunt. Yeah. Look at my slippers. Oh. Camo. And Roy shot a big turkey this morning, by the way.
I did.
I called it right in, yelp, 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 and he, bang. He was a happy man for a moment.
I was a happy, I'm always a happy man, but I was really happy there. So, all right, here's another one. Someone wrote in, they're wondering, what is the difference in praising the Lord and worshiping the Lord?
That's a good question. They're really close. Mm-hmm. And somebody could answer this way better than I'm prepared to right now with definitions of the two words and all that. But praise is really just an expression. Praise is just an expression. It involves thanksgiving, approval, commendation, like commending. Mm-hmm. And that's praise. Worship is more. Like we say worship service, and it is worship service. I'm not belittling it. But worship is more than an expression. Worship is so believing who he is. Like praise and worship both have the same origin. They both begin where the nature of God is known. So when you recognize the person of God, it bursts praise mm-hmm. and it bursts worship. Mm-hmm. So both of them flow out of the same origin, mm-hmm. the knowledge of God. Fair enough? Mm-hmm. Praise has a lot of thanksgiving in it. It's merely an expression. I just praise you, God. Thank you. You're so awesome. I just love who you are. Your faithfulness is amazing, etc. Worship has a deeper connotation. It's an expression of the heart sincerely to him. Mm-hmm. And it's a wholly given place that you see who he is and you believe that and you're expressing that to him. And it's affecting your life, bringing obedience, invoking discipline, mm-hmm. like a life lived in the word of God. To me, I see this and I believe this. This is me talking. Is the highest form of worship, mm-hmm. is a person living in Christ. Mm-hmm. They're worshiping him with their life, not a song or not a truth about him in a song.
Right.
Now, who knows that truth about him in a song can bring a revelation to my heart and cause me to see him clear.
Yeah.
That's why it's powerful.
Right.
Praise is simply an expression, and it involves a lot of thanksgiving and commending, mm-hmm. approval. Mm-hmm. If you look up the word praise, I'm sure you'll find the word approval and commending. But the worship is a little deeper, and it should actually start affecting the expression of my life. Mm-hmm. True worship. Fair enough?
Yeah.
I hope that's...
Yeah, I would agree. And I would think, too, that as worship is affecting your life, that causes praise as you see the...
Oh, my goodness.
And it's probably a cyclical
praise,
thing.
Praise is in every day. Yeah. That should be like... Did you ever notice where Paul says... He talks about suffering, persecutions. He talks about trials. And then he says... And with thanksgiving. Mm-hmm. And the reason he tacks thanksgiving on so many places, you can find it a handful of places, is because when you lose your thanksgiving, it's a warning sign you've turned inward mm-hmm. and you're self-centered.
Yeah.
And you're making it all about you. Well, what about me? Well, I can't believe I'm going through this again.
Right.
Oh, not again. God, how many times? Why are you letting this happen? And it's just all about you and what you're going through and what you got to deal with. And all of a sudden you're losing sight of who you are and why.
Yeah.
Like, guys, the selfish thing, I'm telling you, it's getting me. Like, we're on the earth for one reason, to shine. Mm-hmm. If Jesus said, let your light so shine before men, and that was what Jesus said, let your light so... He didn't say, pray to me long enough and hard enough to get a better promotion. That's not priority. Promotion, praise the Lord, that's mm-hmm. great. I'm not being facetious, that's awesome. But he did say, let your light so... shine before men. Why? So they see, here's what I'll paraphrase. So they see your life and know he's God. Now watch this, people. If I miss that, then I miss why he's in me. Mm-hmm. He's not in me for a better day. He's not just in me so I don't get the coronavirus. Who knows that he's in me for that reason? But he's not just in me so I get provision and protection. He's in me so I shine. Mm-hmm. And here's what I've seen, people. I'm not talking to any of you personally. It's hard for me. This has been in my heart for months. I've seen countless, countless people go with passion for every benefit of the Lord and not even think about if they're shining and not even have conviction if their attitude's wrong. Mm. And the last thing they're trying to pursue is shining. They're trying to pursue prosperity or breakthrough or whatever they're calling. Yeah. And anything, any attitude, any mindset that keeps you from shining is keeping you from what he paid for and why he lives inside of you. Now watch, narrow is the way. He said, I'm the, not a, I'm the. So you say, Dan, this is too intense of preaching. No, absolutely not. Broad is the way to destruction. Narrow is the way to life. Confined, difficult is the way, it says. And few are those who find it, who actually find it.
I get it, yeah.
Oh my goodness. Would you be one that finds it? Would you go after him and say from this day on, you know what? It's not that none of these other things matter. It's not that I can't believe for him or pray about him now and then, but my goal is to shine. My goal is to walk in love no matter my surroundings. My goal is to never lose sight of a person's value no matter what they believe, how they're acting, or who they appear to be. My goal is to never read a book by the cover so someday I can get into the middle chapters where something might be amazing. You see what I mean? So I hope, I know I'm preaching a little now, but this selfish thing, I'm almost, that's twice now I had to fight back mega tears. Like I could have just lost it right there twice, and I'm not trying to play that card ever. That's how big it's in my heart. I feel like we are on the brink of something and we don't want to miss this. We don't want to make it about us. We don't want to make it about God for us. Right. We want to make it about us for him. Yeah. We, like Corinthians says, we want to make it about Christ in us, Christ through us.
Yeah.
Not Christ for us, Christ in us and Christ through us.
Yeah.
And I'm telling you guys, I'm so convicted. If I'm missing that, I'm missing what he paid for.
Yeah. I mean, a good gauge on that is when I hear that when I think about or I meditate on seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness and all these things will be added. And if I'm more excited about all these things than I am the fact that I can have him.
Wait, but you'll never seek first the kingdom of God.
No.
Like the kingdom of God is very simply the king, the kingdom of God is the functioning of the king. It's the manifestation of the king. Yeah. It's how the king functions. So the kingdom of God, the manifestation of the king, right? So I'm going to seek who he is, the way he functions, the way he rolls, how he operates. That's my first goal.
And then his righteousness.
Oh,
that I could have
that's
that.
That's right on top of it. The way he sees me
yeah.
and the way I see others. See, if he sees me that way and he lives in me and I'm the body of Christ and my light's shining, then he's saying, you're seeing that way. If you're receiving my mercy, you're being super merciful. If you've received forgiveness, you are so forgiven.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah.
Yay.
All right. So here we have another question. It says, hi, Dan. I would love to hear how you personally have seen God move in a way that we would think of as strange or weird. And they paraphrased it with, what is the most unusual encounter you've been a part of?
Wow. I appreciate your question, okay? Don't get offended at me. I'm not going to tell you. I'll tell you why. These things are awesome, but I stay away from talking about manifestations in my life. I've seen people go after them, and in a side room, whoever wrote this question, if I was hanging out and we were just eating together, I would probably qualify what I'm saying now and then tell this individual without hesitation, but on a video like this, I don't know how many people are going to watch this. Some of those things are personal to me. And remember earlier when we started off, we compare ourselves among ourselves and stuff. I've seen people compare manifestations. In the beginning, I talked about stuff with zeal. And then people started talking about things right after that in my church. And they always seem to be a step higher. And it's like, It's like, okay, well, are we growing? Are we maturing? Are we multiplying? But it seemed like it was the people that we had to pastor mm-hmm. that sometimes looking for attention. I'm just telling you through experience. Mm-hmm. We're not judging these people. They revealed this to us. And I'm like, man, and people were hungry for manifestations. I'm hungry to know God. Mm-hmm. And here's what I will tell you, whoever wrote this question, I'll be honest with you. I have had remarkable experiences with the Lord. And I was never looking for one of them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
I just wanted to know him. Mm-hmm. He snuck up on me so many times in my bedroom. I have woke up to him. I'll tell you one right now that I woke up to him one morning after I did something that I didn't even think about that just seemed right to me and normal. And he commended it because it wasn't normal to most. And it was like I woke up to him laying on me. It was like he was right here. Laying over me, like I cried so hard, it was so overwhelming. And he was saying in my heart, I'm so proud of you, I love you so much, God. I didn't even know if I was going to function or live. It wasn't a bad thing, it wasn't scary, it was overwhelming. I thought I was so overwhelmed, I might die. I remember trying to talk and saying, God, Father, what do you do? I'll never be able to get out of bed, my day is over. Like, but that was just one little thing. But what I'm telling you is, I wasn't seeking that. I just want to know him. Okay, Holy Spirit, he loves whoever wrote this question. I'm going to tell you one more because it's on video. And you might never have heard this. I was believing God loved me, that I was special to him, that I had access to him in the beginning. You know how John wrote the disciple Jesus loved? Sounds pretty bold. I think he just knew the truth. I don't think he's like saying, I'm the one he loved.
Didn't mean he didn't love the others.
Right.
Yeah.
He was just receiving his love. I went in my bedroom to pray one day. I used to always close my door. And that's because I had to open it. I'd close it because I knew I had to open it to go back in. Well, I never leave my bedroom door open. If you go to my house now, my bedroom door is not closed. But in the beginning, I would close it. It was a contact point of faith. Because I had to open it to go in, and I would open it, and I'd peek my head in and say, hey, it's me. I'm here. Now, theologically, I knew he was in me, but I knew he was going to meet me there. And the Bible says, who seeks him in secret, he who's in secret is going to what? See him there and reward him where?
In
the open. So what am I seeking in the secret? I'm seeking him.
What's my reward in the open?
Him.
Yay.
So I'm just going to answer this question graciously. I'm not going to go into detail.
Yeah.
There are a lot of things God wants to do. Whoever asked this question, please, I don't feel concerned for you for asking it. I'm just saying, please don't ever go after manifestations. Go after knowing him. And if you run into manifestations in the process of knowing him, so be it. But never weigh yourself, value yourself, or compare yourself through manifestations or lack thereof. I've watched people get trashed and crushed doing that. Please don't do that. Okay, so I open my bedroom door one day. If you all know what an open vision is, it's when you see something with your eyes open and the whole room disappears and you see whatever God's showing you. It's not a translation. You're not somewhere else. You're in the same room you were in, but you can't see the windows and the wall anymore. I've only ever had a couple of them. They're fascinating. And some of these things people are asking for, they ain't even ready for them when they come. one thing I cried for days, I couldn't even talk. Like, I was, but this one here, let me go back. I opened the bedroom door, and when I opened the bedroom door, my whole bedroom was the throne room of God. It was like myriads and myriads of angels. It's all I can tell you. Like, you picture in your mind seeing angelic beings as far as the eye can see. Do you ever see like a Reinhard Bonnke video when they show the crowds and it's 2 million people and you can't see the back of the people? That's how it looked. But in the middle was this throne. And there was no physical manifestation of a man's image. There was just an image on the throne. I can't explain it. It was swirling. It was glorious. It was multifaceted. It was colorful. And I think it's why the angels are nonstop 24/7. We sing a song for 10 minutes and people go, why are they just singing the same thing over and over? Oh my goodness. The angels right now are going, holy, holy, holy as you go. You know what they were doing this morning when the sun came up? Holy. Mm-hmm. You know what they're going to be doing tonight when you go to bed? Holy. Why? They're looking at him and he's manifest, multifaceted. Every time they look at a side of Pisa, holy, holy.
And they've probably never asked the question, how many times are we going to sing this chorus?
They're so overwhelmed by his majesty. Like when I saw the throne, I'm just telling you, whoever wrote this question, it was phenomenal. I can't even describe it. There was glory on the throne. And it's like it had an image, but it didn't look like a man. But it was, you knew it was the Lord. And the angels were singing holy. And I walked in and I went, because I'd always talked to him right in the beginning, like by faith. Mm-hmm. Like, hey, Lord, here I am. It's not that I always felt him. It's not that I always knew he was right there other than I knew he mm-hmm. was right there. But it wasn't tangible. Mm-hmm. But this day, I walked in there and I went, Lord, hey. And my whole bedroom mm-hmm. were angels as far as you could see in a throne.
That's incredible.
It was the most fascinating thing.
Yeah.
And I went, Lord, isn't it cool to be in that and have confidence and not just mm-hmm. feel self-conscious, feel dirty, mm-hmm. feel defiled?
Yeah,
I'm not even sure you'll have a vision like that if you believe you're not holy and blameless mm-hmm. above reproach in sight. Like if you can't handle right. that, if you think negative of yourself, yeah. you know, when a lot of people go to pray, they feel self-conscious and they think they got to take 20 minutes to get past themselves right. to even look up. That's not cool.
Yeah.
You can't live that way.
No.
So I said, Lord, I just come here just to meet with you and oh, you're worshiping angels. And I'm like, and I'm raising my hands like, man, I'm part of the party. You know, I'm like, and I'm overwhelmed, guys. Like, I wasn't like I am right now. I was like, what? And right when I started talking, I heard this loud, thunderous shush. Shh. And all of heaven, which, mind you, don't write me letters, is in scriptural. They're always singing holy. But God was speaking to me. He went, shh. And all the angels were silent. It was the most silence you could ever hear. Like, you ever in a situation where you, well, we were turkey hunting this morning. I said, man, is it quiet. It was so quiet in the woods. You didn't hear nothing right before dark or daylight. It was so quiet you could have heard a pin drop. He went, shh, and everything got silent. And this majestic voice said, my son's come to talk with me. It was like he was saying, I will silence everything to chat with you. Who knows? They don't have to stop singing holy for him to chat with me. He was letting
that
me
was
know.
You.
That was for me.
Yeah.
He was ministering to me. But here's the deal. I was not seeking an open vision. I did not read a book on open visions mm-hmm. and then go chasing open visions. I know people will disagree with me tooth and nail on this. I do not and will not promote going after that stuff. Seek him. Go after him. And if you have an open vision while you're seeking him, so be it. Seek him. Mm-hmm. Go after him.
Yeah.
Amen? So that's just I'm not going to go into some of the other stuff, but...
That's good.
Yeah. Bless you.
All right. We've got... I want to get to this question because this came to us from the Netherlands. So like I said, we put it on Facebook that we were doing this, and we got questions from all over the place.
Well, if he sent a question, is it a guy?
It is
or
a guy.
Is she?
It's a guy.
Okay. What's his name? Can you tell me?
You
or
know,
can't you pronounce it?
No.
I'm sorry. I don't know.
I copied and pasted his question and I didn't
okay,
copy and paste
well,
the email that it
came
from.
Okay, well, whoever asked the question from the Netherlands, you're probably watching.
He'll
so.
Know.
So
So he wrote, hi, Dan. I've never heard such a clear and simple yet powerful preaching on love and my identity in Christ. Living in isolation and homeschooling kids, 1 and 4, while also working, it feels like it's consuming all my time. The fact I'm also struggling with ADHD makes it very hard for me to find structure. But mostly, how can I live from being a son, then sort of a lost son coming to the Father with the few scraps of energy I have left at the end of the day? And also, how can I show and become love when being so isolated? This is the question from the Netherlands. Thank God for Outreach Podcast. Blessings.
Oh. Wow, I'm glad you asked that question. Listen, man, listen and hear me with an open heart. I don't ever want you to see yourself as a lost son and coming back to the Father with scraps, et cetera, et cetera. You're in fellowship with God. This is a season you're in. Don't judge your life by the season mm-hmm. you're in, and don't believe because you're not doing something specific all the time, you're not where you need to be. You want to homeschool those kids, and whatever job you're doing, you want to do it under the Lord. Don't Don't have dates with God. Don't have appointments with God. He lives in you. Have relationship with him. Mm-hmm. Like, I think I can, it sounds like you respect my heart. You've listened to me a lot. So I think I can get away with this. I'm talking to this one fellow personally. I'm trusting you're listening. Oh God. I'm not boasting of myself or bearing witness of myself. I'm using this example. I know for a fact the details that you're laying out here, you could pass to me and there's viable answers. That wouldn't detract from the person of Christ in my life. Mm-hmm. I want you to grow to that place and first just believe that's possible. I didn't just compare me to you. Mm-hmm. What I'm saying is none of your scenario changes the glory of who he is in you, how much he loves you, and how much you're forgiven. You got to live there, man. Mm-hmm. You got to live in righteousness. Don't just seek ye first his kingdom, like Roy said, and his righteousness. So every day you wake up, wow, Father, thank you for loving me. Mm-hmm. I am so blessed to be your son. I so appreciate your spirit inside of me. Here's what you're doing. You're weighing the value of your day, the impact of your day by the present season you're in. Mm-hmm. And you're disqualifying your impact. Mm-hmm. No, be a shining light to your children. Let your children see Jesus when they see you. Do your job unto the Lord and be the best at whatever it is you're doing. You see what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. But as soon as you view yourself the way you described yourself, man, you're living on empty. You're misidentifying who he is in you right now. Mm-hmm. The ADHD thing, I would hit that head on. I actually felt like I wanted to pray for you. And I'm like, right now I'm feeling like the Lord's given me this to tell you. Don't mark yourself mm-hmm. there. Hit it head on every day. Father, I thank you for the ability to focus, concentrate, and be everything you need me to be today. I thank you for my children. I am nothing but a shining light. And God, you give me wisdom. My life is valuable and matters much. Mm-hmm. God, thank you for wisdom on my job. I thank you. And even though it feels like I'm a little isolated or a lot isolated and don't have a lot of impact and contact, boy, I got these kids. And I got this job, and right now I have you. Mm-hmm. And I thank you for who you are in my life. You live there. Stay full mm-hmm. and only see this as a season. Here's why it's important. When this thing changes, you get a little expanded. You get some people contact more. You're not as confined to your scenario you described here. You want a cup running over. Mm-hmm. You want to be secure and have an identity in Christ. You want to be like, oh, wow, I finally am in a new season, and then start trying to grow into right. it. You want to just live filled with Jesus, yeah. man. I've said this for years, guys, and people like shake their head and roll their eyes about it, but it's true. You could put me in a room. I'm telling you, this is true. I've proved this to myself anyway. You could put me in a room and close the door, and I'll come out in a week. And no windows, give me nothing. No technology. You better be careful when you open the door. Because I'm not going to be dead. I'm not going to be cranky. You see how flaky I'm getting right now, Roy? You lock me in a door, in a room, close the door. Jesus is in there, man. Mm-hmm. And I want to know him like that. And I want to grow in him like that. And I want to be in a place where I'm full in him. You see what I mean? And no matter what situation I am, I'm content. Mm-hmm. So, sir from Netherlands, don't misidentify yourself. Don't demean yourself. Please don't ever again put yourself down. You didn't do it on purpose, mm-hmm. but I hear you putting your identity, you're labeling yourself. And I promise you, Jesus doesn't see you mm-hmm. the way you're describing yourself. Mm-hmm. Jesus sees you as a son and he loves you. And you live that way. Mm-hmm. You stay there and you live there every day and you go through this season full of him. Mm-hmm. Amen. Don't come to him at the end of the day. Live with him
yeah.
all day. Are you with me?
Yeah.
Does that,
yeah.
anything
I,
you
yeah.
want to add?
No, I think it's good to not delay our joy and our enjoyment of the Lord for one day. Or that's a moving goalpost. Mm. You know, because there will always be things in life. You know, the kids get a little older, but then that brings all new circumstances yeah. or the job gets a little, you know, you get a promotion, but now you have way more things on your plate. And if you're putting off your joy or your enjoyment of the Lord for one day, you'll just never get there if right. you can't do it today.
You know what Paul said? Paul said, I'm content no matter what situation yeah. I'm in, for godliness with contentment is great gain.
Yeah.
Isn't that cool?
Yeah. All right. Here's our last question. And this one says, how do I be an authentic Christian? And I think what they mean by authentic is someone who's not hiding things or living behind, you know, a fake
life. Like a facade,
yeah.
Just
I'm being real. Standing in an ant pile and, you know, doesn't hurt, you know, that kind of thing. Just to, so I think that's when they say authentic, I think that's what they're talking about, right? So how do I be an authentic Christian without glorifying my sin or my issues and giving them too much power? I want to be able to share my struggles with people to show them they're not alone and to show them how God has helped me and is helping me through them. And so I guess the heart of what they're asking is how do I share
things with
people?
That's a simple answer. And you can hear the integrity in the question.
Yeah.
There's great, that's how these people are asking amazing questions. This is a good question. Because it sounds like the person that wrote the question says they're increasing, they're growing. If it's what was and you have a victory in it, well, then it's just simply a testimony. Mm-hmm. And you're relating with people. You're not glorifying the bad side, the sin. You're not. But if it's something that you're walking through, that you're still maturing and are growing in, I think there's relatability there. I think you can do it very simply by always pointing to the answer. Mm-hmm. But because here's what people do. Whoever wrote this question will probably be able to relate to this at some level. The thing that you feel like you're lacking in is always trying to identify you and mark you and condemn you and always bring you down, right? So you got to make sure that you never fight something from that place. You always, wow, God, I thank you for what you're doing in my life. Thank you for the increase. Boom, boom, boom. So when you find somebody else struggling and you want to use your own struggles to relate so that they might even give you a better ear because they say, wow, I see, you know what I'm going through. You've been, and you know, I've done it with my own marriage stuff we walk through. I've been very graphic in private settings. I'll take somebody's hand and cry and say, listen, let me tell you something I don't rarely talk about with people, but I know it'll help you. And I'll just disclose something. I'm not glorifying the blah.
Sure.
I'm actually saying there is an answer and I'm glorifying the answer.
Right.
So it's nothing wrong with you letting them see you can relate to where they are because you have your own experience, but this is how I'm changing.
Yeah.
I want to bring you with me.
Right.
So that's just relating.
And I think the important thing in that is I'm changing.
That's just related.
Not let me tell you where I'm stuck.
Yeah, and whoever asked this question, it's all about changing.
Yeah.
So if you just say, let me give you an example. If you just say, oh, hey, believe me, honey, I know where you're at. I've been there for a while. Thank God he loves us, right? I mean, we all have our issues. I mean, See, there's no faith in that. There's no, you're actually stereotyped in a lesser identity than grace is calling you to, and you're hiding behind a thing. There's no moving forward in that. But that the person that asked this question isn't even in that ballpark. That you could hear the question was so sincere. That was an amazing question. I don't think you have to be concerned about what you sounded concerned about because it sounded like your answer was in your question because you're just letting them know, I understand, however.
Mm-hmm.
I understand, however, and you're pointing them to the prize.
Yeah.
Make sense?
Yeah.
And this is on my heart while we're talking quick, and I know we're probably about where we need to wrap, but this is one of the biggest risks we run in the body of Christ today. I heard this about 5 months ago loud from the Lord, that what God is doing is increasing the revelation of his image, what he created us for, what he paid for, that we can follow Jesus. Mm-hmm. And there's this language out there that's, yeah, but we got to keep it real, brother.
Mm-hmm.
Got to keep it real. You know, you got to relate.
Mm-hmm.
Keep it real. Like we always got to meet people where they're at instead of call them to where he is. That's what's happened. And you have to be careful. I don't know that it's happened, but it's trying to happen. I feel like the Lord's saying it's going to be the big cop out line that's going to be the deception. That'll decide whether you walk in this grace or not.
Mm-hmm.
Where you take this side that says, well, you know, nobody really can live like that. Maybe you're living like that, fine, but I'd rather just keep it real. What are you saying? You don't get offended? Come on, everybody gets offended.
Right.
Come on, you got me. You got to get real, brother. You got to keep it real. Or a pastor says, who in this room hasn't gotten angry this week?
Yeah.
Come on. And we'll have an altar call for all liars who didn't raise their hand.
Right.
That is so not cool because the Bible says put off anger.
Right.
So we're not judging people that are in anger. We're saying you don't have to live there.
Yeah. There's not giving permission to stay
right
there.
So there's this phrase that says, you know, you're in denial. You got to keep it real. You got to stay relatable. Mm-hmm. You got to meet people where they're at. No, I got to meet people where he's at. Mm-hmm. I don't have to meet people where they're at. I meet people where he's at. I love them where they're at,
sure. But
I want to love them beyond that right. And take them to where he's at.
Yeah.
I'm not going to meet them where they're at so they stay where they're right. At. Like, hey, it's
point?
Okay, buddy.
Yeah.
No, I'm going to be like, in my heart, no, you're so much more. Mm-hmm. And watch this. If I don't have a need to correct you, if I don't have a need to be right in your life, and I could go on and just live my life and be free and keep on shining, then why else would I do it? Because
mm-hmm.
I know he paid for it for you
yeah. And
because I care about
yeah.
you. Because I love you.
And that's got to be it, right?
Come
on, it's
got to
be because I love you.
If it's not from that place,
yeah,
it's not at all.
Yeah. And even if someone may be blessed by what you do, but in the end, like, one day our motive will be laid bare.
Come on, man.
And the why behind it.
I corrected a guy once, Roy. I knew him so well that I expected more of him. And when he said what he said, it bothered me.
Mm-hmm.
It hit me. And you say, well, I thought you weren't in that place. It bothered me. I just was like, not offense. I was just judgmental. Mm-hmm. It was like, are you kidding me? Like, you're there?
Mm-hmm.
And when I answered him, who knows, my answer was totally right.
Right.
Boom, I answered him right. He knows me, loves me. Mm-hmm. He took my answer. But there was sarcasm in my heart.
Mm-hmm.
It was almost like, belittling. I was talking mm-hmm. down to him. This self-righteous pedestal mm-hmm. thing rose where I'm like, I thought more of him and I was like, are you kidding me, man? Bam. I gave him mm-hmm. the answer, but I was looking down on him. Now here's the precarious thing. He didn't know it.
No.
He never felt it. He didn't smell it
because
he loves and respects me. He just heard me. He knows my heart. I get to my truck and I'm driving. The Lord waited till I was driving down the road. He said, don't you ever talk to anybody mm-hmm. from that place again. He said, you were self-righteous. You demeaned and belittled him. You talked down on him. He said, you were judging him in your heart. Mm-hmm. And I was like, because there wasn't nothing I saw till I saw it, till mm-hmm. he spoke the Lord. And I was like, what? And it made me cry.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, God, I don't ever, Father. Mm-hmm. And I don't get condemned. I'm like, thank you for loving me. And whoa, and I'm wiser and sharper now. As soon as I got home, I called him. Because to me, that was closure. That mm-hmm. was true repentance.
Mm-hmm.
I said, man, I so want to ask you to mm-hmm. forgive me and apologize. He said, for what, man? He thought my answer was great.
Yeah.
He was like, no, it was a great answer, man. I'm going
to And it probably was a great answer, to be honest.
It was the right answer, scripturally. But the Lord said, he called me on the why in my answer.
Yeah.
Sometimes you can be so right, but mm-hmm. not be right.
Yeah.
Because you said it from wrong places. And we don't think that's important.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, that is the thing.
Yeah.
In the end.
Yeah. Because it'll all be laid there. And it won't matter what people thought or said.
I'll close with this. I know we're long. There's the first two things Holy Spirit ever taught me. And I'm going way back and it's intimate to me. The first two things he ever taught me. The first day I was saved, I got home and I grabbed my Bible and I went to read it. And he taught me that if I didn't have love, I had nothing.
Mm-hmm.
And I had this hunger come in me to become loved, to walk in love, to experience what, not being loved,
mm-hmm.
not being loved by you, Roy, even though that's awesome, but to love you, mm-hmm. Roy. I wanted that. And the second thing he taught me was probably 3 weeks in. He said, you'll never rise above your motive.
Mm-hmm.
And the why will determine everything in the end.
Mm-hmm.
And it won't be how much did you accomplish, mm-hmm. why did you do what mm-hmm. you did? Did we really do it for his great name?
Yeah.
Did we really do it for the sake of others?
Right.
Do we really serve in the ministry for the sake of his great name and others? If that's true, why are we ever offended in our serving?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, why do people leave his church? Because they weren't appreciated.
Or after everything I did.
Because they weren't doing it for the right reason, and the why is going to find them out in the end.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm convinced of this, that the only things that stand for eternity are the things that were truly done mm-hmm. in his name.
Yeah. Yeah, we
Not
talk about that.
In the name of
no,
Jesus.
No, I think everything that was done for any other motive.
In the name of Jesus.
It'll burn.
It'll burn.
It won't last.
Only thing that'll stand is the things that were truly done for his sake.
Mm-hmm. And it doesn't mean people won't be blessed. It doesn't mean you won't have a great name.
The guy?
Any of that stuff.
The guy thanked me. He felt thankful.
Yeah.
He'd probably tell a friend and say, man, that Dan gave me the mm-hmm. best insight.
Yeah, but you knew.
And my heart God, so why is Holy Spirit on me right away like that? He doesn't want that to become normal mm-hmm. in my heart. He doesn't want that to go to somewhere else. Mm-hmm. He doesn't want me to start looking down on people. And next thing you know, a year in, I'm self-righteous and prideful, and all my answers are right because people are wrong. Mm-hmm. And all of a sudden, I'm preaching God, missing the heart of mm-hmm. God. You see what I mean?
Yeah.
Ah.
Yeah. I appreciate it. I really do. All right, man. Thanks for doing this for us and with us and just for your friendship, and we appreciate you.
Sure,
we
man.
Really
do you think they want to see my slippers? Again?
Look at that. Look at that.
Look at that. My little camo slippers.
Hey, guys.
No, wait. Put that back up again. Roy had these on turkey hunting this morning. He left his boots on the porch when we got there, and this is all he had on.
But Daniel...
So
thankful.
Daniel had an extra pair of shoes.
Yeah, I might have stretched them out.
They're not turkey hunting shoes, guys.
No, they weren't. But I killed a turkey in his sneakers this morning.
So can I say something? God bless you. Love you. If you tuned in, I hope this helped you. Man, stay in faith through this whole season. It'll blow by. Mm-hmm. Keep praying. Pray for the families that are getting touched by this thing. Pray for leaders. Don't complain about the politicians. Pray for them. The Bible says pray for them that they have wisdom and understanding.
Yeah.
Don't complain. Don't backbite.
Yeah.
Yeah, keep your hearts pure and let's walk in love. Amen? And hopefully I'll get to see you again sometime.
Yeah. So love you guys. Thanks for watching. If we didn't get to your question, I'm really sorry. We had a bunch come in. We tried to consolidate the ones that we had multiple times asked.
And I give long answers.
Yeah. It's that pull the string. Here we go. Love you guys. Thanks for watching.
Bless you.
And we'll see you guys really, really soon.
Okay. Bye-bye.